Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
The Mark Cox Morning Show.
I want to compliment your show on how fair and level-headed everything you guys talk about.
Who is this guy? He's saying what we've been saying forever.
Maybe what we need from a conservative standpoint is
the Mark Cox Morning Show.
I respect that. We don't agree.
Listen to both sides.
This,
let's get it on,
is the Mark Cox Morning Show. The Mark Cox Shortlist, brought to you by Eggers Heating and Air Conditioning. Call Eggers.com.
This order includes a prohibition of weapons on Capitol grounds.
This really needs to calm down because this has really become a house of cards.
I think you called me a liar on national TV.
Let's not do it right now.
You're not going to get Bernie to say gulags, but like, I'm all aboard for gulags.
They would like to have had us sent it over on Christmas Eve so they could dismiss it.
The takeaway for me is the tariffs work.
Unlike those who came before me, I kept my promise.
Well, how about that? Project Veritas back at it, you heard there. And also the president pointing out that promises made, promises kept on China trade. He was told that deal was impossible. And here we go again. Isn't that fantastic? Good morning to you. Happy Thursday. Glad that you're with us on the Mark Cox Morning Show.
Good morning.
Good
big,
morning.
Big, big show today, folks.
Huge.
Coming up.
Lots of great
guests. It's going to be huge. Coming up in the next hour, former Senator Jim Talent, current Senator Roy Blunt, because we've learned yesterday, of course, that Nancy Pelosi, in her glee, delivered the articles of impeachment to the Senate. Mitch McConnell has now pointed out that they're going to inform the White House, and then they will start holding the trial next Tuesday. What are the rules? The rules have to be issued pretty quickly so they know what to expect. Nancy Pelosi named, six or seven?
I think it's seven.
Make case managers to go over. They're basically prosecutors. She picked people with legal backgrounds who'd been in a courtroom before, who will stand up and make opening and closing statements to try to convince the jury, which is the Senate, that there was some wrongdoing here. That's who she picked. I believe four or five of the seven are from the coastal impeachment category.
Mm-hmm.
These are people who either live in New York or California, and all of them were pushing for impeachment years before the Ukraine thing was even an issue. These are all hyper-biased, partisan left-wing politicians who Nancy Pelosi is pushing to the Senate to stand up and put on another Schiff show. I said that very slowly, intentionally. But that's what we're going to have. Adam Schiff, Nadling Nadler, and then the remainder of these Democrats who are going to go over and basically get primetime coverage for their outrageous and unproven allegations against this president. So that's what's going to happen. For 2 weeks, the country will be dragged through this again. And in the meantime, the story that got covered up yesterday is yet another victory by the Trump administration. Now on the new NAFTA agreement, the North American, Canada-Mexico-U.S. trade agreement, that's done. I don't agree with everything in it. Bernie Sanders doesn't like anything in it because it's got Donald Trump's name on it. But he did something that when he got in office, people said couldn't be done. He did it quickly. Pelosi refused to vote on it. It should have been done a year ago. Imagine the economy, the Dow is at 29,000 30. That's what it'll open at this morning for the first time ever. It's crossed into 29,000 territory, then dipped back down. It closed above 29,000 yesterday. Imagine how high it might be if the USMCA had been passed sooner. Imagine how much higher it might be now that we have secured phase one of a trade agreement with China. I can't go over this enough. I switched over and watched the Squawk Box on CNBC this morning. These are not people who are, they don't delve into politics a lot, but they do talk about how policies affect the economy. They were hypercritical of the tariffs when they were put on. It was doom and gloom and how can you do this? And suddenly all these Democrats who are not free traders at all became free traders so they could oppose tariffs. I want you to just listen to Jim Cramer. I know you know the name. He's been around for many years talking about, he was one of the people that suggested these tariffs are going to hurt the U.S. economy. Listen.
I think that the takeaway for me is that tariffs worked. If you go back in time, people just said, listen, tariffs won't work, won't change them. The Chinese are all powerful. Tariffs will hurt our consumer. The consumer's going to see a lot of inflation, both at the producer level and the consumer level, ultimately, which is going to hurt the U.S. economy. None of that happened. The whole narrative is that China caved, and China's going to continue to cave because we didn't take the tariffs off.
That's right. You know, you got it. Why will the left, and I'm not saying Jim Cramer's left, but why would the left never give him any credit for any of these successes? None of this would have happened under a Hillary Clinton presidency. That you just can't drive that home enough. Certainly none of this would have happened under a Bernie Sanders bigger government model that the Democrats are now pushing. That's part of their platform. None of this that we're experiencing would have happened had Hillary Clinton won. In fact, I would argue the economy would have gone the other direction because she would have killed tens of thousands of jobs in the energy and healthcare sector. We're at record low unemployment, folks. You can't get away from that, and you can take that to the bank. You know what else we need to talk about today? Governor Mike Parson gave his State of the State yesterday. I listened to a portion of it. I read the transcript of his speech. One of the things he talked about was impacting crime around the state. He's got his hands full, right? What happened last night? Just a quick rundown. I was listening to Denise's newscast there at the top. A shooting on 270, right? Somebody shot driving down 270. Two carjackings and a shooting in downtown St. Louis last night. And then we find out the basement level statistics of how often Circuit Attorney Kim Gardner actually charges anyone with a crime in St. Louis. Of the thousands of cases the St. Louis Police Department has worked to investigate and then gone to all that trouble to take them over to the prosecutor's office, 23%. Is that not the number that we reported this morning?
She issued 23%, yes. 38% were refused, 37 were pending a warrant.
So I want you to think about that for a minute. That is criminal justice reform to the current circuit attorney in the city of St. Louis. 23%. And a lot of those are murders. So the murderers are still running around out there somewhere because she won't issue warrants. And for less serious crimes that she doesn't think the standard of proof has been met because, you know, people have to make a living. That's the attitude of Circuit Attorney Kim Gardner, who claims to be pro-law enforcement or, pro-law and order. Clearly not. Anyway, we're going to talk to the governor about that about 8:10. And at 8:37, I've got Jane Duker and Jeff Rorta coming into the studio. Rorta is named in the Gardner lawsuit against the city. We're going to give him a chance to react. Looking forward to it.
President Trump knew exactly what was going on. He was aware of all of my movements. I wouldn't do anything without the consent of Rudy Giuliani or the president.
Do you believe Lev Parnas is a reliable witness? Well, I don't want to make any judgments about his credibility or others until we have the opportunity to flesh that out.
I'll bet you don't, Adam Shifty Schiff.
Yeah, until we hear what he's saying and who he's damning here.
Yeah, the lefties losing their collective minds. All of my few remaining liberal friends on Facebook are, challenge that, Donald Trump. Refute what Lev Parnas said about you, Donald Trump. So this is a man who never met the president, right? Who was an associate of Rudy Giuliani, who's facing 20 years in federal prison for lying to the authorities and for covering up foreign campaign contributions made to American politicians to try to influence Ukraine policy. That's who this guy is. He's turned state's witness to try to avoid spending the next 20 years in a federal jail. And he's a private citizen who is not has no authority to conduct foreign policy on behalf of the president or anyone else. Why does his testimony carry any weight at all? That's what Adam Shifty Schiff understands. So they pawned this guy off to Rachel Maddow, who spent the night making him seem like he's something he's not. Like he's the missing link. He's the key to proving Donald Trump wanted to remove Marie Yovanovitch because he just didn't like her. Not that she was a biased, anti-Trump holdover ambassador in the Ukraine working against the interests of this country and interfering with the policy decisions of the Trump administration. That's why Marie Yovanovitch got fired. Try going to work today and actively working against the interests that your boss has stated is the company policy. And see what happens. See how long you last. I'm just saying. This whole Parnas thing is, the left is losing their minds this morning, but that's who that guy is. In the meantime, guess who made his first public appearance?
Who? Please tell us.
We are not amused. Why is that news? Prince Harry made his first public appearance since getting verbally abused by his grandmother the other day somewhere in England.
Yeah, since his plans to step back. So he's in London, and it would appear his first public appearance is just him standing outside a building chatting with people.
Again.
And a camera found him.
From the very little that I read after their little discussion in England and the statements that were released, I'm like, yeah, that's probably not how that really went down. Not buying the little niceties of, oh, we think that it's, you know, fine. We wish they'd stay, but we understand why they're leaving. Uh-huh, sure.
Yeah,
not
they might
buying
be
it.
Upset.
I think they're upset.
Generally, a lost interest in the royal family in about 1776.
That's been my thing the whole time. However, I
will say that I know people in my family even who think this is the greatest love story in history, and that Harry so loves little Meggie that he's willing to give up his family title to follow her to
either.
America.
I'm like that.
She knew what she was getting into. She was a B-list American actress who now sees an opportunity to catapult off of her royal title to help her career in Hollywood because all the liberals now want her suddenly to come back and act and pay her a lot of money. I'm sorry. She knew what she was marrying into. Everybody knows what the royal family's about. I don't feel bad for the trouble they're taking over this at all. I don't think he's some
wonderful love, you know, love my wife so much I'm willing to do anything kind of. I don't think it has anything
to
do with.
You don't get that impression?
I don't.
Because I actually do. I don't care, but I have not ever doubted that they have a solid relationship.
I don't either, but I don't think that this is all about how wonderful he is that he's willing to give up everything for her. I don't see it that way, but I also don't see Mark's like, she's just trying to get her career. Like I fall into like somewhere in the middle. Like I think their relationship is probably great, but I don't think that it either. She's awful, and I don't think he's amazing.
If it was all sunshine and roses, nobody would have been able to attach a dollar amount to how much money they could make playing off the royal connection. That's what this is about. They've already started their own brand called the Sussex brand or something, and Oprah's told them they can make $500 million a year if they just leave England and
they don't
play
need
on
the royal backing.
So
but as
saying.
A conservative, don't support them taking the road that like capitalizes on their
gives them freedom
on their
from
prosperity.
The royal
I am a free market
money.
Person.
Yeah, away
however,
from a royal
well, my
family.
Point is, Meghan Markle would have had no access to any of this had she not married into the royal family.
I think she's
doing this for the wrong reasons. That's all. I want everybody to make money. I just think I don't think she's above wrong. Reproach on this. And it's all about love. I don't think that's what it is. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
Let her get rich. I don't care.
I'd actually love to see Hunter up there. I'd love to know why the kid was getting $600,000 to sit on the board of a natural gas company. I'd love to know why he was able to fly over with his father on Air Force 2 to China and pull $1.5 billion out of the country, right? I mean, this is a kid that had a troubled past. This is a kid that got kicked out of the Navy. This is a kid that had a lot of scandals in his life, and the kid was certainly making a lot of money. I want to know why he was sitting on the board of Amtrak. And you know what? Why don't you go above that? Why don't you ask Joe Biden that same question? Why don't you ask Barack Obama that same question?
Hey, Uncle Sam, put your name at the top of his list.
Dr. Randy Tobler joining us this morning with a little reaction to this. Randy, another fine example of somebody making money off the family name, just like the royals. What do you think?
I tell you, this is this is turning into great theater. I understand that Nancy and the seven prosecutors, Robin and the Seven Hoods, is going to be a Fox Broadway musical in the next series next year. This is hilarious, isn't it? It's like Kabuki theater.
It's funny to me on this these comments by Eric Trump that he's referring to Hunter Biden as the kid, this kid.
Yeah,
Hunter
yeah.
Biden is 50 years old.
It's my favorite clip of the day because he says it like six times.
This
but I'm
kid.
Sure the ladies in the room will agree that very often men that they know, my wife, just ask her. Sometimes men never grow up emotionally.
Maybe
they just,
that's what it is.
Well, and Eric Trump's 36. It's
right.
Not,
these aren't children.
When he's considerably younger. It's so condescending.
I mean, here's
awesome.
The thing about it. I mean, Eric Trump, his brother, his sister, the whole family works for an organization called Trump International, right? That's who they, that's how they earn a living is off the family name. We understand that. Joe Biden has been a public servant since 1965 or something. I mean, for years he's been a public servant. And the what we know so far about what his son did to enrich himself is sickening. And I can't imagine why the Democrats want to force our hand and force us to drag him before the Senate for this impeachment trial, because there is fire where there's smoke in connection with that relationship.
No, you're absolutely right. And you, it's interesting to listen on the, you know, on the talking head shows on Fox and others, when the Republicans, you know, Steve Scalise, I saw Senator Kennedy from Louisiana last night, a representative from Louisiana, another one. They're all giving Nancy a chance to stand down on this, because they're warning what's coming, and it's going to be hell and fury if there's a tit for tat in terms of that witness list. And I don't know. I think they're playing with fire. Now, of course, with this, you know, like you said, I heard you talking about Lev Parnas. And, yeah, are they gonna is that some kind of – that's the latest bright, shiny object that they're going to bring some handwritten chicken scratch from the, you know, the Hilton Hotel cheap, you know, on the desk in the room pad? God knows when that was made. Probably scribbled out 2 weeks ago when he was doing his plea deal or trying
yeah,
to.
Thank you. Thank
yeah.
you.
And I think that the Democrats are just desperately grasping at straws, trying to find anything to work here. And they're playing with fire because, man, you got Lindsey Graham on your tail and some of the and Mitch McConnell, the master strategist, and Graham, the master tactician. This could be very dangerous. And then on top of it, you got Bernie Sanders as the presumptive nominee. I really think there's a real chance of that. I mean, this could be a landslide like we've never seen come November of this year.
I truly believe that. I pointed that out yesterday. I mean, I remember forever making the joke that Walter Mondale just got out of the hospital, and my friends would say, why? What's wrong with him? I said, they're still picking gravels out of his butt from that landslide in the Reagan election. I mean, it could be that bad. This could go really poorly for the Democrats from this point forward. When you combine all of these things together, I really the economy, trade. I talked about it earlier, the China deal, which is completely got overshadowed yesterday by Nancy Pelosi. And I'm not so sure she didn't plan that, walking slowly down the hallway, her giddy little nervous laugh as she signed the papers and handed out the ceremonial pins to, you know, all of her fellow Democrats. Where's the mainstream media reporting on all of these successes? Oh, by the way, and the Dow closing above 29,000.
Right, and there's just no lack of hubris in terms of the way they're Judge Cox, the prosecutor for the Democrats, in terms of convincing anyone in the jury who doesn't believe this is purely a political move, this entire charade for the last few months, actually since Trump went down the elevator. I offer as Exhibit A that this is political, the list of the prosecutors. Look at that. They have clicked all the boxes. Okay, they got the military guy from Texas. They got the Hispanic woman from California, Zoe. They got Val Demings, the black woman lawyer from Florida. You know, I mean, they've got the guy from Wisconsin, the military guy, sorry, he's from Wisconsin, right? So they've got all of these guys, that's where he studied anyway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
They've got all of the boxes clicked for all of the constituencies that they're going to need to try to cobble together to somehow put together a ragtag voter constituency to bring victory in November. This has nothing, I repeat, nothing, Judge Cox, to do with high crimes and misdemeanors. Now, will you please acquit my client?
I'm banging the gavel on the table up here. Yes, sir.
Thank
I couldn't agree
much.
With you more, and I accept your motion. Case dismissed.
Are you to dismiss, or do you want to see a knockdown, drag out trial here? There's people
boy.
On both sides of the aisle.
I'm content watching the knockdown, drag out trial between Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren. The CNN of all places released the audio of what she said to him after the debate the other night. Let's play.
Oh, I heard it.
A liar on national TV?
What?
I think you called me a liar on national TV.
Let's not do it right now. You want to have that discussion? We'll have that discussion. You called me. You told me. All right, let's not do it now.
I don't want to get in the middle, but I just want to say hi, Bernie.
Yeah, good.
To Tom Steyer, who's just like this vanilla person in the background, walks over. He's standing there when all this is going on. He goes, I don't want to get in the middle. I just want to shake your hand, Bernie. Like, I'm a fan. Can I get an autograph? It was just weird. What do you think? What do you make of all that?
I recall a conversation like that about 30 years ago when my grandma was arguing when I hit a baseball through her neighbor, two elderly couples, you know, and I was at grandma's house, and she was yelling over the fence at my neighbor who said that, you know, I didn't hit the ball. It was thrown by the squirrel in the tree. And he said, that's not to do it. Let's talk about it later. That's the way she comes off. She's just so shrill. Unbelievable.
Yeah, I don't know. We were debating earlier whether or not, you know, it's really very much as she said, he said kind of scenario. She can make any claim she wants and then call him a liar. It's so obvious that these are the two people vying for that liberal progressive vote of the Democrats. If they can consolidate it, Joe Biden is in big trouble here. But I don't know that these two, they've both got egos the size of Manhattan, and I don't think that's going to work out so well.
You're right. If you could fire up the excitement on each of their bases for either one of them, whoever might be the presumptive Biden, you know, nominee champion, that's true. But I think there's so much vitriol between those campaigns, despite some of the schmoozing they've tried to do publicly. My guess is that there'd be a lot of you'd get a lot of disengagement from either side. But Joe Biden, I mean, I feel embarrassed for the guy every time I watch him. It really is sad. Someone in his inner circle that has his ear needs to talk to him and tell him this is like a baseball player who should have retired 10 years ago and still trying to tough it out in the minors. You know, it just it doesn't do well for him. Not at all.
Yeah, it's a true fact. You know, Randy, just quickly, though, your point's well taken on why this whole case should be dismissed. But in the next 2-week period, starting next Tuesday, according to Mitch McConnell, and we're going to get to Senator Blunt on here and ask him about this in about an hour from now, the nation is once again for maybe 4, 5, 6, 7 days of nationally televised coverage going to be dragged through this whole inquiry sham again. And it's nothing but pure politics. And it just sickens me that in light of all of this great news, we have to stop and watch this Schiff show one more time.
Yeah, and you'll continue to see the Trump administration and the campaign put out positive news whenever there's an opportunity that'll be in stark contrast to the joke it is. And I predict, Mark, as happened during the impeachment trials in the House, watch the ratings over the however long the trial lasts. They'll slump very soon and very deeply. I think people have had enough of this.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Randy, always a pleasure. Thank you.
All righty. We'll see you, man.
We'll be listening Saturday morning, the Randy Tober Show. Of course, it's 6 to 8 here on 97.1 FM Talk.
But you have been accused in the past of making lewd and sexist comments and fostering a frat-like culture at your company that was uncomfortable for some female employees. ABC's actually spoken to several women who want to share their stories, but you won't release them from their NDAs. As Senator Warren put it, she was here last week. She said, if your company has an enviable record, what do you have to hide?
We don't have anything to hide.
Well, the worm turns, huh? Remember, they were asking Donald Trump about all that, and now they're finally asking Michael Bloomberg about all that. Yeah, the knives will start to turn on Bloomberg because they can't affect the amount of money he can raise, right? No amount of negative publicity tamps down his contributions because he doesn't need any. That's why he wasn't on the debate stage the other night. I heard two different people who I respect, one of them being Genevieve Wood and another one on the Kilmeade show the other day, talking about why we can't just dismiss the Bloomberg candidacy. I mean, I think, number one, you can impact a campaign with money. There's no doubt about it. But ultimately, he's got to be live and in person, and he's an awkward little man. And there's no way he's going to do as well live in a debate as he's going to be doing on these slickly produced TV commercials that he's churning out and playing on in every airport in America on CNN. There's just no way. So for whatever the risk he poses is to the Democratic establishment, because the last thing they want to criticize Trump for being a rich businessman who's only out for himself, and along comes billionaire Michael Bloomberg trying to buy the election and the Democratic nomination from them. Wow. We'll see.
He might be their only hope as far as Joe Biden falling apart, though. Having some kind of moderate that could actually take the ticket.
I don't think he's a moderate.
I don't think that anybody on Warren? That side is particularly moderate. But compared to Warren or Sanders. I know a lot of middle-of-the-road thinking people that don't hate his policies.
Bloomberg?
Correct.
Oh, okay. Interesting. I haven't heard anybody talking about him.
No, I don't think you've heard much about him anyway other than his ads.
I think that might help him.
Yeah.
Here, though.
If he didn't have $1 billion, he'd be another Deval Patrick who announced he was running
probably
and then you heard
true.
Nothing
yeah.
from him, right?
Probably true. Yeah.
So that's
yeah.
the
but
main
reason. But
he does
have $1 million. You know, yeah. he does have the money.
So
I just
make
thought
some
it was.
Noise with
I thought
it
was great when we had Keith on yesterday when I could say, "Okay, you brought up Bloomberg. You do realize, don't you, that he started Stop and Frisk in New York City, which was an effective policing approach, which is now hated by everybody on the left because they claim it targeted minorities."
Yeah.
Well, I know that, but he's apologized for that.
But isn't that the?
It was effective.
Keith is a good example of the left looking for somebody moderate enough to lead
yeah.
a ticket.
See, that's a good point.
Yeah,
that's a good point.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.